Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is our 16th study in the book of Psalms. And we come today to Psalm chapter 45. Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart overflows with a goodly theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is like the pen of a ready scribe. A ready scribe is one who has thought through his words before he writes them down. And that's just a smart way to be, isn't it? To think through what you're going to say or write before you do it. It's especially true when the topic is God. When speaking of God, certainly what we say should come from our hearts, but it should also be accurate, or it should not be spoken, because we don't want to be misrepresenting God in some way. Verse 2, you are the fairest of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips, therefore God has blessed you forever. Now remember, the person addressed in this psalm is the king. The person addressed in this psalm is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, God's King. And he says in verse 2, the writer says that the Lord is fairest of the sons of men. That's not talking about physically. There wasn't anything special about how Jesus looked. The Bible teaches that. But he certainly had beauty of soul, unlike anyone else. Jesus had more grace, more holiness, more wisdom than the rest of the human race combined. 3. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O Mighty One, in your glory and majesty. Jesus is the Mighty One. Actually, He's the Almighty One. He is God. But think about it. Jesus created everything. Jesus died to redeem us from sin. Jesus promises to keep us, and then He promises to raise us from the dead. Only the Almighty can do those sorts of things. Verse 4, in your majesty ride forth victoriously for the cause of truth and to defend the right. Let your right hand teach you dread deeds. The right hand speaks of power. The dread deeds refers to amazing things. And when you talk about paying for our sins on the cross, you're talking about an amazing thing. When you talk about saving an unrighteous sinner from hell, that's an amazing thing. When you talk about turning that unrighteous sinner's life around, that's an amazing thing. And when you're talking about sending the devil and his demons and all impenitent sinners to hell forever, you're talking about an amazing show of power. Who in the world can do that but God Himself? And that is Jesus. 5. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Jesus only uses sharp arrows on His enemies, which is why they will fall on the day of judgment. The Bible says the wicked shall not stand in the day of judgment. Verse 6, your divine throne endures forever and ever. Your royal scepter is a scepter of equity. It is a good thing that Jesus' reign as God will go on forever. Because if it did not, then when He got booted out of office or when He resigned or whatever, our blessings which come from Him would be stopped as well. So we are secure in Christ forever. Because He never stops being God, He never stops being in charge, and He never stops caring for us. 7. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Jesus hates wrong as strongly as He loves right. And He proved that by His perfect holiness. He lived out what He believed. Jesus hates wrong as strongly as He loves right, and He proved that by His strong teaching that upset many people. who did not hate wrong as much as he did, or love right as much as he did. And it still upsets. The teaching of the Lord still upsets those who want to cloud the line that divides good and evil. They don't want to hear it. Got to be taught anyway. But they don't want to hear it. Verse 8, your robes are all fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From ivory palaces, stringed instruments make you glad. There's a lot of music in heaven. And there'll be a lot of music throughout eternity on the new earth. And the music of heaven and the music of eternity is going to make us feel good. We're going to enjoy it. It's going to be pleasant. It's going to enhance an already perfect environment. It's going to be good music. It's going to be the kind of music that God likes, whatever that is. It'll be something totally different than anything that we're used to. Verse 9. Daughters of kings are among your ladies of honor. At your right hand stands the queen in gold of Ophir. Now, the Bible refers to the church as the bride of Christ. And since Jesus is the king, the queen here would represent the church, that is, Christians in eternity. Let's move on. Verse 10. Hear, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house. In other words, renounce the world. God's talking to his queen. He's talking to his church. He's saying, renounce the world and follow the Savior. Listen carefully to what the Savior says in his word, and do not concern yourself with the opinion of man. One thing the Lord hates is a divided heart. A lukewarm attitude toward him will not be tolerated, not forever, it won't. Verse 11. And the king will desire your beauty, since he is your Lord, bow to him. When we give wholehearted dedication to the Lord Jesus Christ, he sees that as a beautiful thing. The Lord will see our beauty. That's a beautiful thing. It pleases him. Wholehearted dedication to Christ is spiritual beauty. It is pleasing to him. 12. Since he is your Lord, bow to him. The people of Tyre, that would be Gentiles, by the way, the people of Tyre will sue your favor with gifts. The richest of the people with all kinds of wealth. This is a prophecy that Gentiles, as well as Jews, will be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven through Jesus Christ. Now, that shocked a lot of Jews when the apostles started preaching to the Gentiles and offering them eternal life, but it shouldn't have. Verse 13. Since he is your Lord, bow to him. The people of Tyre will sue your favor with gifts. The richest of the people with all kinds of wealth. The princess is decked in her chamber with gold woven robes. Verse 14. In many color robes, she is led to the king, with her virgin companions, her escort in her train. And this is again a reference to the church. And notice how this woman is decked out. We're going to look good in that day. We're going to look good to God in eternity. We will be the best that we can be, both physically and spiritually. Verse 15. And notice something else we will experience. With joy and gladness they are led along as they enter the palace of the king. Joy and gladness will be ours in eternity, because there will be no reason to feel anything but joy and gladness. Why would we feel anything but joy and gladness? Troubles, pain, fear, Satan, sickness, disease, worries, they're all going to be just a distant memory to us someday. Now, 50,000 years from now, 100,000 years from now, after being in that perfect environment, in a sinless body that doesn't get sick, somebody might say, well, do you remember pain? Do you remember what pain was? Well, I don't know, that's been 100,000 years. I seem to remember there was something called pain on earth, but I don't remember exactly what it was. I mean, that's the type of conversation that could possibly take place, because these negative things are going to be just a distant memory. Verse 16. It says, instead of your fathers shall be your sons. You will make them princes in all the earth. And this is simply saying that the line of God's people is never broken. Beginning with people back in Genesis, continuing on through the apostles and on to today, it never stops. Until the end of time, God will have a remnant of righteous people. Verse 17, I will cause your name to be celebrated in all generations. Therefore the peoples will praise you forever and ever. This is a great verse because in this verse, God the Father is promising Jesus Christ, his Son, that his name will be celebrated in every generation, and it has been for 2,000 years going on forever. Think about how different that is from other so-called celebrities and stars. You know, every generation has their stars. They have their celebrities, but when that generation passes, so does that star's fame. I mean, who in the world is out buying Bing Crosby records these days? Or who is talking about Joe DiMaggio every day? And yet, you know, 50 years ago, Bing Crosby was extremely popular, and Joe DiMaggio was the talk of baseball fans. So, you know, but that generation passes, that era passes, and so do those celebrities. But not so with Christ. Every single generation, he is, for lack of a better word, a celebrity. He is the star. Because he is God, and he is alive in every generation. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. All sources of strength are, in fact, weak. All protectors are unreliable. All places of safety are really vulnerable compared to the Lord our God. God is a proven, ever-present help for his people. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea. The writer has said that God is on our side. The writer has said that God is a proven, ever-present help for his people. And since those things are true, fear just does not make sense. Even if everything that we are used to begins to fall apart, fear still does not make sense. And he continues in verse 3, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. See, when everything is wild and nothing seems to be normal, men and women can still have peace if they are on God's side through Jesus Christ, and if they remember that God is on their side. 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And I believe in a literal city of God on the new earth. I believe the Bible teaches there will be that. And I believe that it will have a literal river with crystal clear streams that begins at the very throne of God. I believe that. And I believe it's going to make that city wonderful. It's going to make glad the city of God. But this river also speaks of God's grace, which flows uninterrupted from his throne in order to bring comfort to God's people, who will enjoy it by trusting in him. 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her right early. God's throne will be in the capital city of the world on the new earth, and that is what will make that city the best place to live, the best place to visit. It is because the visible presence of God will be there. And it works the same today. It is the presence of God, the knowledge of the presence of God in our lives that makes this world tolerable, that makes a day a good day, that brings comfort to God's people who will enjoy it and who are in despair today otherwise. It is the presence of God that makes all the difference in the world. Verse 6. The nations rage and the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. God has his enemies. His enemies hate his law. His enemies despise truth. And they rage. And God puts up with them for a while. But he will speak, and they will come to an end, because this is his world, not theirs. 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Our God is the Lord of hosts, meaning that He is in charge of the angelic armies, because host refers to armies. God is in charge of the angelic armies. And He's the Lord of hosts in that He is in charge of the armies of men too. Not that they are doing His perfect will, but He is sovereign. And therefore, an army may not even know it, but they are serving the long-term purposes of God, which is good news for us who belong to Christ. 8. Come behold the works of the Lord, how He has wrought desolations in the earth. God is instructing His people to remember the things that He has done for them. It's a good idea to have daily reminders of the good things that the Lord has done for us. I think what I'm going to do, what I think is a good idea, is to focus on one good thing, at least one good thing that God has done, or one good aspect of His character, or something. Every day, write it down on the calendar and celebrate it. Just like the Catholic Church. Just about every day, there is something on a Catholic calendar, some kind of religious feast, some kind of memorial, and I just think it's great, because every day, they remember something good that God has done. And that certainly is biblical. Verse 9. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Sometimes the only way to make wars cease is to shatter the enemy, whose greed moves him to engage in those wars in the first place. And sometimes God chooses good people to do that. 10. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. Be still. I'm in charge. Be still means to be unafraid. It means to be impatient. It means to be patient, I should say. God is saying, I'm in charge. Just relax. Take it easy. Resign yourself to the will of God, whatever it may be. And relax in me. Hang on. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, he just said this exact same thing in verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It is repeated because it is a fact that is so easily forgotten. You know, there's so many things in this world that would steal our joy and steal our faith. God has to remind us that He is with us. The Lord of the angelic armies is with us. Psalm 47, verse 1. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Reverence before God is very important. But so is praise. So is letting loose a little bit. The Bible sure talks an awful lot about that. I don't understand those who stand up and applaud a home run, but then think that it is strange to applaud God after all that He has done. That doesn't make sense to me. God deserves the most enthusiastic expressions of honor and appreciation that His people can possibly give Him. He is that good. He is that worthy. 2. For the Lord, the Most High, is terrible. A great King over all the earth. Doesn't mean that He's bad. Today we say if somebody is terrible, we mean they're bad. And back in those days it meant He is so amazing, He is so holy, that it strikes fear, terror, into the heart of people who think about it. And it just simply means awesome beyond our ability to imagine, awesome beyond words. And think about it. Anybody who has been around forever, anybody who has created all things from nothing, has earned the right to be called awesome beyond words. And that is Jesus Christ. That is Almighty God. Verse 3. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. The battle is not ours. Whatever it is that we may be going through, whatever it is that may be the challenge, the battle is not ours. Just as it was not Israel's. He will subdue for us. In His time, not ours. truth, righteousness, and all things that are good will be the norm. God will get the victory for us. For He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob whom He loves. In other words, God will personally choose the proper blessings for His people. Well, I like that, because He knows what's best. That goes for saved Israel in the Old Testament and saved Christians today. God knows what good things suit us the best, and that is what He will give. 5. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Now, this may have other applications, but you can bet that it's talking about the ascension of Christ, because I believe that's exactly what happened. I don't have any doubts that the angels welcomed Jesus Christ into heaven with a standing ovation. When He ascended into heaven, there was excitement there. Verse 6. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. 4 times in this one verse, the Holy Spirit tells us to praise God. He is saying, never let the praise and worship of our God stop. Never let it stop. And it does not stop either. Someone somewhere is praising God right now. Someone somewhere is praising God every minute of every day. And even when they pause to catch their breath, there's a big group in heaven that never pauses. 7. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. God is sovereignly reigning. God is sovereignly working behind the scenes, in charge, and is in control. And I know that sometimes it might not seem that way, but it's true. Things are not out of control. Even when things look like they are out of control, they are not out of control. God's reign over everything is the guarantee that everything will be okay for His people in the long run. He's calling the shots. 9. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. This is strictly prophecy. The princes of the peoples gather as the people of the God of Abraham. There will come a time when all the rulers of the world will be united in their dedication to Christ. Every ruler from every nation will honor Christ. We will live in a world that will be so wonderful that it hardly even pays to think about it. Because we can't imagine how good it will be. Because we're stuck in this world the way things are today. But it's going to happen. Next time, Psalm 48. Until then, so long everyone.